Grade 4 Conference, Lecture 11, Working with Parents, Part 3. Now I want to speak a little bit about the evening parent meetings, the parent evenings, as they're known. And here again, as with that Saturday welcoming meeting, you want to give it a 3- or 4-fold structure. You won't have as much time as you have on Saturday. But concerning time, many of you have heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. Keep to your schedule. If you say you're going to begin at 7:30 or 7, begin at that time. If you say that you're going to end at 9 or 9:30, end at that time. And I will speak about the particular challenges surrounding the ending of a parent meeting in a little while. Before the meeting takes place, a week before, send the parents an agenda. Let them know what to expect. If you are even good enough at timing things in advance, let them know how long each item is going to take. They will really appreciate that, especially if you're able to stick to that agenda and if you're able to stay within the time spans that you expected. And the structure is the presenting of the developmental aspects of the child, a look at where you are in the curriculum, what the main lesson block is right now. Of course, you want to have all of the student work on display when the parents come into the room, even if it's just for a few minutes of socializing, and encourage them not just to look at their own children's work, but to go around the room. Since we don't give grades, this is a way for them to get a sense of where their child stands in relation to the rest of the class, in his writing, in his drawing. Very important for parents to be able to get a sense of this. And I'll speak about this in relation to the individual family meetings that we have as well. We don't have to give grades, and I mean this even in grades 7 and 8, but we do have to give the parents a feeling for where the child stands. And there's more than the letter or number grade, more ways of doing that. And give the parents an artistic experience or an experience of a special teacher. So it would be good if in the course of a year, or at least a year, a grade and a half, that parents get to meet every one of the special class teachers, especially because there's more likelihood one or another of those special subject teachers will leave at some point, and someone new comes, and you want everyone to know their face as well as their name and to get a feeling for seeing them at their best. And you also are going to be answering questions. Now, a word about that, the question and answer period. Many teachers will acknowledge privately, if not publicly, it's the most terrifying, onerous, unpleasant part of their job. They'd lower their salary if they could just get away with not having to answer those questions. I will give you advice that's given in many of these online conferences that will make that question and answer session much more bearable, maybe even enjoyable now and then. Imagine that. And then you end the evening. Now, here are some of the hindrances, the obstacles to watch for. And the one I'm going to mention first actually becomes a greater and greater issue with every passing year. The parents in your class are more integrated into the life of the school, even if this is their first child or their only child. They've been with the school for 4 years as a grade school parent. Perhaps they had their child in the kindergarten, nursery, toddler program. Maybe they've been with the school for 7 or 8 years by now. So they know a lot of people. They're more integrated in the community if they have the time, the leisure, and the inclination to do so. And it could very well be that, let's say, your parent rep is now the head of the parent-teacher organization or plays a very important role in organizing one or another event. This is wonderful, and it's really great because the children see their parents also reaching out and getting involved in the school. It's what we want. It's one of the advantages that an independent school has over a charter, because you're generally dealing with parents who may have more of that leisure time, and even dads who can just pick and choose the times that they want to work and times that they want to help in the school. So there's this great community spirit. That means that with every succeeding year, you are going to have more requests from your own parents to make announcements about an upcoming school fair or an auction or the what seems to be the most popular event in all Waldorf schools, those good old wine and cheese evenings. Now beer tasting is becoming a big thing, and I'm sure that marijuana sampling will be part of it as well as more Waldorf parents go into that line of work. Anyway, whatever, they're going to want to make announcements about these things. Here's how I would handle it. First of all, the parent has to let you know 1 week in advance, and you have the right to say, I'm sorry, the agenda is all set. No, we can't do it, or I can squeeze you in, and I'm going to give you 2 minutes to speak, so talk fast. Can you write up something in advance? Can you hand out something so people get all the information that way? Can you do an emailing? Whatever. Whatever you can do to not let parents speak too much at the parent evening. It sounds horrible. It sounds like an oxymoron, right? Certainly you want them to be able to ask questions or make comments, but these announcements are deadly. And the main reason is it's not because the parents are trying to undercut you or are inept or anything. If you're not a practiced speaker, it is very hard to speak in short spurts. It's very hard to make a short announcement. You've really got to think it through carefully, and you have to find the sort of shorthand way. You know your audience, you know what you have to say, you know what can be left out of this announcement, because there'll be other ways of reaching them. I can tell you from my own personal experience, though I've given thousands of lectures over the years, doing these 15-minute lectures so that you don't have to just sit there for an hour and a half and hear an entire lecture on one subject, it's very, very hard. It's very intense. It's exhausting for me to do it this way. But see the sacrifices that I make for you? But anyway, you can't expect that of the parents. So you have a scenario like this. Okay, well, it was so nice of Mrs. Jones to let me get up here and speak to you all about the upcoming bake sale. Thank you. Isn't she a dear? We love our Mrs. Jones. Excuse me, I just have to say that. Give her a little applause. She works hard for us all. Okay, she's giving me a dirty look. I better go on. All right, so the bake sale, it's coming up in 2 weeks. 3 weeks. 2 weeks from now is the auction. Oh my God, I get those things confused. This is such a busy school. It's great here. I mean, there's just so much to think about. Anyway, okay, 3 weeks is the bake sale. And Mrs. Jones insisted that I put all this on paper. So You've all got your assignments, and you know what you're going to... Sally, what's the problem? What? No. We are saying this year, no white sugar. Absolutely. No. I know, but you have to find a different recipe. Did you see that study that was in the newsletter? Mrs. Jones, that was right... I'm sorry. I have to go. Okay. This is going to go on and on and on. And the dear woman, I mean, she or man, trying to help, really, you know, how can you tell her to sit down and be quiet? But you have two or three of these. There goes your talk about the developing child. You have a few questions and answers from the other parents or quarrels going on about who's really responsible for this or that. There goes your discussion about the main lesson block. You let it go on a little bit longer, and you'll find this as you get up to 7th and 8th grade, where there are a zillion events going on. You know, you're going to 6 museum trips, and the class trip, and fundraising, and the graduation, and you name it, the class play becomes a Broadway extravaganza, and so on. And that's all you talk about. And you know what? There actually are some teachers who are fine with that, because then they just sit there the whole parent evening and don't have to do a thing. And if it goes on long enough, it eats up the questions and answers segment too. So they get away with that. Please, don't be one of those teachers. Maybe one or two parent announcements. I would say 5 minutes total of all parent announcements. They'll get more discipline. Then, of course, you've got other parents from other classes coming who are just come up to you right before your meeting. Oh, my God, I'm glad I got you. I just drove here. I had such a busy day. Can I make a one-minute announcement about the 8th grade's efforts to Pennies for Peace that they're going to do? And there you go. Starts all over again. Now somebody else's parent, they're going to be very offended and feel that you are just an egotist doing everything for your own class and not for theirs. Anyway, you've got to find ways of working around that so that you can have meetings that are predictable, that have a real beginning and a real ending. And concerning the ending, you will often find that if you've said the meeting's going to end at 9 p.m., that at 8:59 and a half, there goes Gloria raising her hand, and you know it's going to be a question that will immediately cause her to cry, and, you know, her daughter is having this or that issue again, and we know that Gloria always waits till the very end to ask these questions or make these comments. And maybe it's not Gloria. Maybe it's her husband, Ted, or somebody else. But there are perhaps 3 or 4 parents in the class who predictably, for whatever reason, wait till the end of the meeting. Probably they got in very late. That's one reason. And there you go. It's an important question. It may actually have a relevance far beyond her daughter. You know, it may be something affecting many children in the class. It would be nice if you could answer it. But you know what? You can't answer it because the damn meeting is over. So what do you say? Gloria, thank you so much for that question. I'll stay on and answer it. And if anyone else wants to stay besides Gloria, you're welcome to. But everybody else, it's 9 o'clock, and you've got work to do. So thank you very much for coming. Good night. If parents know that that's the way you treat those last-minute questions, they will keep coming to your meetings. But it's often the kind of tyranny of the last-minute questioner that will really undercut your meetings. That's the last thing people remember, that the meeting went on until 10 because of all of the the Pandora's boxes that her question opened up. So be very careful about that. Keep to your schedule. Be draconian about it. Let it be. You yourselves have had this same experience, and I can tell you when you've had it. The last time you went to any live teachers conference at any teacher center or anywhere, the entire week, there was probably one person who had 90% of the questions. And I bet she was untrained. She probably was just learning about Waldorf education, even though this was a third grade, second grade, or maybe eighth grade conference. And all of her questions were about her child. And she dominated, and she insisted on raising her hand, even when the lecturer said, please wait till the end, or the next session will be questions and answers. Her hand shot up, or she'd shout out, but this is important. And that poor lecturer would lose his or her train of thought. And everybody would suffer for issues, important matters in the lecture that never appeared there, that just were elided because of those questions. So you know what that's like. And the same thing is felt by all the parents when one or two from their group tend to do that. Now we'll go on, and I'm going to give you some thoughts about the conferences with parents, and then we'll go on to written reports as well.